and welcome. You are listening to an episode of the Sales Chat Show. To stream or download a host of further free episodes that will power your sales success, please visit saleschatshow.com. We really hope that you enjoy and benefit from this episode. So, hello, folks, and welcome to yet another episode from the Sales Chat Show, saleschatshow.com, driving your sales forward. As always, in the Sales Chat Show studio, Mr. Graham Jones, Mr. Anthony Stairs, and I'm Simon Hazeldean. And this episode is called Is It More Dangerous to Talk About Price Early or Late in the Sales Process? Stimulation for this episode. I was speaking at one of the regional meetings of the wonderful Professional Speaking Association, Mr. Stairs. I think it's your home region, PSA Thames Valley. PSA Thames Valley, running a session there on sales for speakers. And I was asked a question: when should you mention price when you are selling? So I thought, wow, let's have a conversation. Let's have one of our chats about this and see if it descends into an argument when Graham trots out some piece of research that we don't know about. So, two possible schools of thought, gentlemen, is let's have that conversation. Let's introduce price early in the conversation with, let's say, a potential customer. Let's use that as the example. Potential customer. We're having a conversation or we're having some sort of a communication exchange with them, and we talk about pricing and budgeting first. So advantages, we're helping to qualify the opportunity. We're finding out the customer has got some money and is potentially serious, and it looks quite confident, right? This is how much we're going to be. Downside, you've gone early. You've no idea at this stage maybe what the customer is looking for. You don't necessarily have any idea on the overall budget, so on and so forth. So you might have missed a little bit of a trick there. Going late, so late in the sales process, you have had the chance to understand the customer needs, you have had the chance to understand what is important to them, that enables you to articulate value better. You know, you can't communicate value if you don't know how the customer measures or what the customer values, and then your price will seem good value versus the value that the customer is getting. So that's all the plus points. Downside, you might have left it very late in the day and the customer goes, oops, I didn't know it was going to be that much, and you've wasted and spent an awful lot of time. So there's kind of pros and cons with both options, I suppose. But gentlemen, what are your thoughts if you're working with your customers, working with your clients? Where do you sit on this binary choice? I'm just waiting for Graham to tell us it shouldn't be a binary choice.
Well, Graham
choice
will tell us the proper answer to this question. I suppose, like you say, it's the running the risk of, do you scare them early on by giving them a price? But basically what you're trying to do there is qualifying them as having a budget and suitable, worthy of your time. And the value, particularly if you do a solution sell, you can't really do that early on, because unless you understand the pain and the cost of that pain, it's really hard to be kind of able to do that. I suppose when I work with clients, one of the things I encourage them to do is to at least bring up the subject of budget for this particular project or thing you're looking to do. Okay. Don't necessarily have to ask them how much they've got, but asking them if they have a budget will usually then help you get rid of the tire kickers, sorry for using that label, but those that have no budget that you then don't want to give too much time to. Or you might then decide to deflect off to a free resource that they can self-serve rather than requiring too much more of your time. So for me, I think it is important to bring up budgets in an early stage, but I would be tempted to not go too early on price. Because if you go early, you have to talk price. If you go late, you can talk value. So I suppose they're my views.
Okay, so mentioning money as in budget early, but keeping the actual conversation about the specific, the dollars, the euros, the sterling pricing until later. Okay, so that's kind of your thoughts. And Mr. Jones, what's the correct answer?
The correct answer is that this is all to do with the confidence of the salesperson. And so usually people do not like discussing price. So the what's happening in the brain of the salesperson is they're either thinking this person can't afford us, and if I tell them the price, they're going to be put off, or this person will think we're too cheap. And so they're worried about talking about price. And so then you that lack of confidence about talking about price goes into, well, if I the things that Anthony's talking about, if I mention it too early, that's a potential downside. If I mention it too late, that's a potential downside. All of that is to do with what's going on in the head of the salesperson. I'm much more interested in what's going on in the head of the customer.
Oh no, not the customer's head again. Here
Who
we go.
cares what the
No,
customer thinks, Graham?
oh, this is oh, we're back onto our sales chat show soapbox. Get out your own head, get inside the customer's head. How many times we must have said this, right? Graham, take it away. Let's
on, Graham.
have a rant.
So what's going on in the customer's head is they don't give a fig about the price at the point they're talking to you. Yeah, because, for instance, I do not own a Lamborghini. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there. I don't own one. Yeah, I know that there's no point in me owning one because I don't have the budget. How do I have no idea how much a Lamborghini costs. Not a clue. All I know is I can't afford one. Simple as that. Although I do have a student who's got one, but that's a bit worrying.
Yeah, that's about. I'm assuming, tell me they're a mature student, or no, they'll
No.
probably be like some 18-year-old internet entrepreneur, right? That I'm guessing something like
Is
that.
19 years old with a very rich mum and dad.
Oh,
Yes. A very, very rich mum and dad. So, which is fine, but it causes fuss in the car park. Never mind. That's
I bet. I bet.
another story altogether.
You mean he doesn't pick you up from the bus stop when you're getting
No,
on the way
he doesn't pick me up when I get off
to.
the bus. No. So, whatever your brand image is, tells people what kind of price you're going to be. And so actually the discussion of price is irrelevant because people have walked into your business, whether that's physically or online, because they know what kind of price you're going to be. The problem is that if your brand has not communicated your price, then you're in trouble. So for example, have you ever been into a pound shop? Now, come on, be honest. You
Yes,
have, haven't you?
I
Yeah.
have, yes.
How much does it cost to buy anything in a pound shop?
More than a pound.
That costs a pound.
I would just for the sake of
Or
any
a
of our
dollar store.
listeners outside of the UK, and there's probably something similar in all sort of countries, but it's a very, very discount orientated retailer. And in fact, some of them in the UK, everything in the shop is £1
£1.
sterling.
There are dollar stores in the States that do
Dollar
the
stores, yeah, exactly same.
same
So,
thing. Yeah. So you go into a pound shop. You can buy in a pound shop. Let me just give you one example. You can buy a 250 milliliter pump soap. You know, the soap that you have maybe in the downstairs loo. It's a blue soap in a pump, 250 milliliters. How much does that 250 milliliters soap cost you in a pound shop?
Is
£1.
one
Okay.
pound? I mean,
£1. How much does it cost you in a more expensive store, such as a local, big retail pharmacy chain?
oh, I don't
Oh,
double, three
yeah.
times, two times, three
Right.
times,
No. See, here's the
more.
problem. It costs you 79 pence in a retail pharmacy chain. So actually, it's more expensive in the pound shop. So this is how they begin to make money because they've told you this is cheap. They're very clever at making you think it's cheap because they don't tidy the shelves up. It's an untidy place. Yeah. You associate untidiness with cheapness. Yeah. There are plenty of
good online retailers whose websites are pretty untidy. They're not brilliantly designed. They're not going to win design awards. It makes you think they're cheap when they're not. Right? So we shop there thinking that we're getting a lower price. If you go into a Lamborghini shop, yeah, it's not a shop, is it? Dealership.
Dealership.
It's a shop for expensive cars. Yeah. Everything is going to be highly polished. It's going to be, you know, marble floors. It's going to, you know, have chrome that's gleaming. Whereas if you go into your local secondhand car dealer, it might have carpet that's got stains on it, on the floor kind of thing. A completely different environment that sets your mind as to the price you are going to be paying. So the price then doesn't matter. You know what ballpark you're in. If you walk into a store that's selling you, you know, watches that might cost, you know, you go to a chain jeweler's that's going to sell you, you know, watches that costing £80, and then you walk into a jeweler's that only deals in Rolex and Tag Heuer and all the expensive watches, you know you're not going to go into that jeweler's because you can't afford them. So price is not important. It's how marketing has established the price environment in which you're in. So if you're worried about price as a salesperson, it means that your business has not branded its position in terms of pricing in the mind of the customers. So the most important thing to do is focus on that.
Yeah. And let's say our listeners are saying, yeah, Graham, I got you, but that's where I am, right? That's where I am. I'm a salesperson and that's the situation that I've got. So I guess to take your thoughts, therefore, we've got to do something maybe early in the sales process to start to shape the client's perspective of price.
So, right? I would ask them, what kind of other places have they looked at?
Yeah.
That tells me the end of the market they're looking at. So one of the things that another example that we have in the world of professional speaking, that we get asked maybe to speak at a conference, and we don't know how much to charge. You know, we might have our fee in our head, and we're always worried about stating it because we think, you know, imposter syndrome, that we're overcharging. So I would always ask, who did this last year for you? And then when they tell me it was some TV personality who I know charges 10 grand for half an hour, then I know I can charge more than I would normally charge, because that's their thinking of the kind of person they want in that particular slot. So if you're in a position where you haven't established your price framework that you're in, then you've got to ask, you know, who else have they been looking at? So if you think about this in terms of supermarkets, you know, if you go and shop in, say, Waitrose, which is a at the premium end, Marks & Spencer, Waitrose, the most expensive supermarkets, if you ask a Waitrose customer, where do you shop before? And they say, well, I've been to Aldi and Lidl, two of the discount suppliers from, you know, German-based discount suppliers, you know they're probably not going to shop in Waitrose for very long, because they're looking for the things that are discounted and, you know, end of, you know, on their sell-by dates, rather than become a regular shopper, because they're not in your marketplace. So you need to ask, where do they normally buy these things before you even talk about price? You know, who's supplied this to you before?
And I know,
then you know where they are in terms of thinking about price.
Yeah. And I know when I've worked with procurement people in the past, you know, they'll talk about categorizing certain things that they buy in different ways.
Yeah.
And certain thing, you know, I'll have a 4-box matrix or something, you know, strategic importance to the organization on one axis and value, you know, amount of spends on the other. And, you know, if you're in the commodity part, you'll be treated like a commodity and it'll be a very, very price-driven conversation. You know, a table is a table is a table, right? For an office, they'll maybe. I know nothing against people who sell office furniture. I'm sure they'll tell me, I'm sure they'll tell me I'm mistaken. But I think to some degree, if you behave like a commodity, you'll be priced and treated like a commodity. You know, Warren Buffett, the American investor, we've quoted him before. I mean, he was talking about buying, you know, shares, investment. Price is what you pay, value is what you get. Now, price is one element of the buying decision. And I think if you know, I would say I sit in the camp that let's have a conversation fairly early on, like Anthony, to establish a ballpark budget, right? That they've got some money. This is a serious inquiry. Then I want to really understand what they need, and so that I can understand, therefore, how to position what I can offer, if I can help, in a way that maximizes their perception of the outcome they're going to get, the value they're going to get. And like you say, Anthony, until we define the solution, if we're in a solution selling area, it's really hard to do a definitive price. But if most of the conversation is upon customer output and customer value and what they're going to get, price is a component part of that buying decision. It's very, very rarely, unless it's commodity, the only criteria. So you may be the answer to our question, which is more dangerous, you know, is what is dangerous, what's even more important, what's more dangerous is to probably allow yourself to be treated like a commodity and not believe in the value and the worth of what your products and services you're selling, right? But if you do have some items in your product range that are in that commodity category, well, that's where you are. That's where you are, right? And for those products or services, maybe you do. But you've got to take a decision as well, I think, haven't you? As you know, I was asked one time, somebody in another outside the UK, they were in the IT space, and I won't mention the country, but they literally had the three suppliers in the same room, seeing who would undercut each other live in front of them, in front of the buyer. I mean, pretty like bloodbath, brutal. And they were saying, you know, have you got any negotiation tips? And I'm like, really? Like, if you've chosen to be in the room, it's a horrible race, bloodbath race to the bottom. You need to make a decision strategically as a business, whether you want to be in that room in the first place or not. Absolutely. Right? Because, you know, there's no clever tactic or technique that's going to get you out of that. So that clearly that buyer is, this is a commodity purchase, and I'm going to place it with, that's like an e-auction, you know, in-person version of an e-auction, isn't it? You know, there's nothing, you've got to decide whether you want to play there as well. So,
yeah. So it's interesting because I had that thing where people kind of go, yeah, should you kind of discount and stuff? And I always go that, price may win you a deal, but service will win you a customer. And if you win it on price, you're probably going to lose it next time on price, or it's a race to the bottom. And my view is, if there's no profit to be had in what the client's going to buy, I'd rather give that to one of my competitors. I'd rather they are busy not making money than get a huge discount in order to kind of win the deal, I suppose. But it's interesting because some people are doing a pricing exercise. So they will phone up and they'll get straight to the point. They don't want you to ask them loads of questions. It's like, I've been asked to get prices. How much is this? And sometimes you're kind of forced to give a price before you've been able to explain the value. And I always suggest that in those situations, I personally would warn people, well, look, just so you know, I would usually say, are you speaking to other sales trainers, or are you speaking to sales trainers? They say yes. And I say, you do know that's not what I do, right? Because you're going to compare apples and oranges, and pricing wise, if you're doing a pricing exercise, I don't want to waste your time. I won't be the cheapest. But if I'm forced, or they sort of say, well, you've been recommended and I have to do a price check against you, I always say, well, look, I'm happy to send you something, but can I just ask, could you prioritize one of these? Could you put these three in order of how you're going to make your decision? Okay. Is it based on speed? Is it an urgent thing and whoever can do it quickest is going to win? Is it based on price? And it doesn't matter how good it is, it's got to be as cheap as possible. Or is it based on quality and how good the product's going to be? Because it's very rare that I think that people would lead with, oh, well, we've only got a small budget, but we need it as quickly as possible. Or, but it needs to do the job and it needs to last. So usually if they do lead with we have budgetary restraints, it's usually backed up with another important element, which is either speed or quality. But I find that a lot of people try not to lead the answer to that question with price, because then they sound cheap. They'll usually say, oh, well, it's got to be good quality, but obviously I don't want to pay too much for it.
My thoughts there as well, if people are on the receiving end, I've been asked to get some pricing, is that's not the person you should be talking to. They're not the economic
buyer in the organization
who can make. So I would want to speak to the economic buyer. So it's the person who's actually going to release the budget, but also is the person who will be accountable for the value, right? To whom it matters. Because if you're caught up at a lower level, possibly it sounds like, you know, an assistant's been asked to phone around and get some options and get some pricing. You know, they've probably not got a great idea what they're looking for anyway. So, you know, you might wanna talk to the right. If you're not talking to the right person, I think you're in a difficult situation.
I would have a conversation with them asking them, how can I make their job easier? Because the person who's been asked to, you know, an assistant or an associate who's been told, you know, I want the, you know, 10 companies' prices on this, means that the economic buyer has no idea what they're looking for in the first place anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem. But I would ask, what is it that person needs me to do to help them make that job easier? Because if they're just getting a list of prices, they're going to be comparing apples and pears, as you said, you know, apples and oranges. They're not looking at the same things. So what can I do to help them to make that job easier? Because I might be able to point them in the direction of competitors who will provide prices. You know, they don't know who to go to. I can help them. One of the things that is in a book called Sales Genius. You may have heard of it.
Is that Sales Genius by Graham Jones, available from all good bookshops and some not so good bookshops as well? Is that the one?
Yep. There is a chapter in there about the relationship with gatekeepers and the people who are assistants to the person who's making the decision. And when the person who's produced the list of here are the prices gives the price list to the economic buyer, they are going to give it with some emotional attachment to it. And they are going to, in some way, whether it's the way they write the list, whether it's how they recommend it in the email, they will put you at the top of the list, even though you might be the most expensive. They will in some way help you and support you, because they know that should the economic buyer decide on you, they're going to have to work with you. They're not going to be working with the person who was rude to them. They don't want to do that. They'll, you know, the person who says, oh, we don't give prices, blah, 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 and slams the phone down. They won't even include them in the list, let alone say that, you know, their price is low or whatever. So I would build a relationship with that person, because should you get the business, they're going to be working with you, and they would rather work with you, and they will influence the decision.
And one way sometimes to engage the economic buyer via that person is to ask the person making the inquiry a question they can't possibly answer. And that will get you through to the economic buyer. Or at the very least, they'll pose your question to that person, which again is another way of getting yourself a little bit higher on the list. So I think in terms of answering the question at the top of the show, is it more dangerous to talk about price early or late in the sales process? It's a little bit of, there's dangers. There are a number of dangers. One is there's the danger of having conversations, doing a lot of work on poorly qualified opportunities, of which price budget is one element of qualification, but a very important part. I think to Anthony's point, you know, have they got some money before we start investing a huge amount of time? Don't want to be supplying too much. It is also dangerous, I think, to undervalue what you offer and to allow yourself to be treated like a commodity. Right. And you too. That's like you're saying, Anton, it's not business you probably want to be having, you know, which is most important. If it's not speed or quality, then it's just price. Is that going to work for you in your business? But for me, is unless you understand what is important to the customer and what equals value for them, how on earth do you know how to position what you offer? And it's focus on outcomes and results for the customer. Right, and the price is the enabler, right? Yeah. The investment they make is the enabler of it, you know. So I think it's that focus on the value first, and then, you know, your price will be a subset, if you like, of that of that value, but kind of, I think, dangerous to you know, premature pitching. We talked about that a bit earlier, right? You start, you're spraying and praying, aren't you? Like, you hope some of this, you don't know what's, and it's always my, you know, my, one of my favorite questions, what is most important to you? Like, answer is a version of yours. Which are these three things? So when you make it, when you're choosing a supplier for this, what is most important to you? And, you know, sometimes they say, well, price. You say, okay, in addition to price, and then maybe you can use Anthony's hierarchy. Yeah. That's a great question. What's most important to you? And if it is just being treated as a commodity purchase, I think you just have a more strategic decision to make as a business, whether you want to play, whether you want to play in that arena of customers or not, because your your whole business has to be orientated to do that sort of discount pricing.
Yeah, I really like your points, Graham, with regards to the branding and how that is going to set the scene at where you're going to sit in the market. And I think if you're confident you've got your branding right, it should give you the confidence to ask for the kind of fees that you deserve. But I also love that sort of tip on just ask them who else they're looking at and talking to. Because if you understand your industry and your market, you should know roughly what your competitors are charging, how you differ from them. It should give you an indication of what they're expecting or the kind of thing that they are looking for. I thought were really good points.
When it comes to branding, I think it's also important that I ought to mention, I have no idea what the Lamborghini logo is. I have no idea what the corporate colours are. I have no idea what fonts they use. All I know is they're expensive. Yeah. So when we talk about branding, all too often, the focus becomes, you know, logos, fonts, you know, a branding Bible about how we spell things and all the rest of it. None of that is relevant. Yeah, it's all, you know.
Telling me that my brand guidelines don't really mean much.
Brand guidelines don't mean a lot, yeah. But what matters is what people think about your brand. Branding is what people tell you it is, not what you think it is. Yeah. So you've got to establish all kinds of communication that enables people to have a view as to your pricing. One thing I would say is that if people are, you know, determined at the beginning, you know, I need the price now, I would always give a much, much higher price than I think they want to pay, because you can always come down later on. If they like you, you can come down. But if you think they're asking for prices because they are doing a price comparison and want the lowest price, that may not be the reason they're doing this. There may be another reason they're doing this. It may be, you know we want to go with an expensive option, but we need to know roughly what kind of budgets we need to allocate, because we don't know at the moment. So they know they're not going to go for cheap. They know they're going to go for expensive. If you've gone in too cheap, you could lose the business. And also, if you get the business, you can't now put your price up. You can always bring your price down. So one of the things that salespeople do is often worry that they're quoting too high. Just think of what your standard number is, double it, and then quote that, and then you'll come down a bit at a later date. But if you go in low, you can't go up.
Yeah. I like that.
So hopefully that has given you some thoughts and ideas, folks, on often what's quite a tricky topic for salespeople to consider. Would like to point out, we must apologise for Graham's shameless plug of his book. Not like the rest of us on the Sales Chat Show ever do that from any time. But just like to point out, in the interest of balance and fairness, other books on sales are available. I strongly recommend mine, obviously, but no, also Anthony's. And I would like to point out that currently none of the Sales Chat Show team's books are available in the bargain bin at any of the pound or dollar shops. They are available from all good online and book retailers. So that'd be really great, wouldn't it? Go in and there's your book in the £1 must go clearance bin of the discount shop. That would be awful. That would just not be a good. We're delighted we're not there. So thank you very much, folks, for listening into this episode. There are hundreds of other episodes from the Sales Chat Show. You find them at our website, saleschatshow.com. We are on all the major podcast platforms. Please do subscribe to the Sales Chat Show, because you will then be notified when new episodes are released, which they are on a regular basis. And in the meantime, from everybody here at the Sales Chat Show, from myself, Anthony and Graham, we'd like to wish you good luck and good selling, and be confident about the value that you are bringing to your customers, and the price will probably to some degree take care of itself. Thank you very much for listening, folks. Good luck and good selling. You have been listening to an episode of the Sales Chat Show. To stream or download a host of further free episodes that will power your sales success, please visit saleschatshow.com. Thank you very much for listening to this episode, and from everyone here at the Sales Chat Show, we'd like to wish you good luck and good selling.